Good morning and welcome to a special commission meeting of the Chelan County Public Utility District. Today is December 20, 2021. It's 9 a.m. We have advertised this as a special meeting and all five commissioners are present. All of our normal staff, General Manager Steve Wright for one last time, Eric Walquist and Rebecca Newman forever. You can't leave now. So we welcome all to the this meeting. And due to COVID, we're meeting remotely. And while normally I would remind people to just silence their cell phones, I would ask that for the purposes of a virtual meeting that we all do our best to remain on mute unless we are speaking or are actively participating at that moment in time in the meeting. We do value public input, and this is a public hearing. And we'll be providing opportunity for public to have input during the appropriate sections of this meeting. If you do wish to speak, we ask that you provide your name and address for the record, as our meeting is recorded and we wish to have an accurate record of your input. Our flag salute today will be brought to us by none other than Eric Walquist.
Thanks, commissioners. I'm going to start seated and then move. I don't have a mic, so you all stand and we'll start. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Our first item is our public hearing on commissioner district boundaries, and I would turn the microphone over to Daniel Apple.
Thank you, Commissioner. This is Daniel Apple, staff attorney here at the district. And we are back here once again to consider the redistricting of commissioner districts. Since we last talked about it on the 20th, there have been no changes proposed. We have not received any public comments on the proposed plan to readopt the same boundaries as we discussed last time. I can also report that the county earlier this week adopted the exact same district boundaries in their meeting on Monday. So we will be in company with them, and if the resolution is adopted today, we will meet our deadline of tomorrow. So that's really all I have to say, unless the commissioners have any questions.
Commissioners, before I open the public hearing, are there any questions for Daniel Apple?
Mr. President, I have a question. Daniel, I saw in our write-up that there were no comments given to the district, but that the county did receive a comment with respect to making all of Wenatchee, I'm assuming downtown Wenatchee, one district. Is that correct, or was it the entire? Can you explain what that comment was?
Yeah, my understanding of it, Commissioner, from speaking with Mr. Moore about the comment, is that the commenter preferred to see Wenatchee proper as its own district, and rather than having it divided up among the three districts. And the difficulty with that, of course, is that there simply is no feasible way to do that given the population of Wenatchee. You'd have to be shaving off parts of it anyway to include in the other districts so that you could have the even population. So it just, unfortunately, it's just not feasible for that.
Thank you for explaining that. And
but even in the face of that, absolutely.
Any other commissioner questions? Hearing none, I will open the floor to any public input. If there's any member of the public present that wishes to provide input to the commissioner district boundaries. I am hearing no input from the public. If there is no input, I will declare the public hearing closed. At this time, we have a resolution that I think has just been described to us by Daniel Apple, resolution number 3, revising and confirming the boundaries of the commissioner districts for the next 10 years. Is there a motion to approve resolution number 3?
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve resolution number 3.
Is there a second? It's been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion has carried.
Thank you, commissioners. This is Eric. Yeah. Can I just take a minute and express my gratitude to the commissioners for making this meeting on the next to last day for the deadline of this effort, and then once again really send my personal thanks out to Daniel and Rebecca, who've been tracking it for the district here, and then of course the county and all the efforts by county staff to really frankly lead the working part of this effort. So thanks again. I appreciate you all being here today.
You bet. Okay, resolution number 4, and I will turn it over to Steve Wright.
This is a resolution authorizing the general manager to enter into an extended duration power sales agreement. This is an issue that we have been talking about with the board since the spring. We will have Sean Smith make a presentation about this, and then I want to go to each of the managing directors that's been involved in the development of this contract before we open it up for commission questions. So, Sean?
Good morning, commissioners. Sean Smith here, Managing Director of Energy Resources. I'm here today to speak about the resolution to approve the COP Plus contract. If you go to the next slide, we'll go over the details. We're going to summarize the previous board meetings, review some additional contract highlights, and then please note, we're returning to the board after 10 days when we introduced the resolution December 20th per state statute. Next slide. First, let's look at our board presentation history. The proposed contract is consistent with our March 15th and July 6th board presentations. There we covered portfolio guiding principles, cost plus guiding principles, and major COP template concepts. On December 6th, I came to you and presented an update on our negotiation status. Then again, as we spoke about previously, on the 20th, we introduced the contract resolution, which we needed to do because we had to provide 10 days before approval per the state statute. Next slide. Turning to the proposed contract itself, I've gone through these details on the 20th, but you'll notice the top line where we have now added the purchaser. That is Avista Corporation. They currently have 2 market-based slice contracts with us. However, they are new to the COP Plus contracting. So that will further expand our diversification, which is one of the core principles for our portfolio. It is a slice of the system. Rock Island and Rocky Reach is included in that. It's a 24-year term, but it's 20 years of output. That 20 years of output starts in 2026 with 5% and then goes up to 10% starting in 2031, and then the contract ends at the end of 2045. It should be noted that pricing is competitive, near but below market for today's carbon-free energy and capacity markets, while it mitigates our cost, our operating costs, and our stream flow risks here at the district. Finally, on this slide, the added value is roughly 30 percentage points above the plus portion of the contracts because of the increases in carbon and capacity markets. So, final slide here. You know, as I've said in the December 20th update, We've been moving to this, and Steve's alluded to it, you know, for the last 9 months. A lot of work has gone into this among many groups, both on Avista's side and our side, and a special thanks to the teams across a vast array of people and groups and specialists. And I just want to give a big thank you. So now we're here, and the next steps are to request approval from the board of this resolution. And if this resolution is approved, the general manager will enter into the long-term plus contract with Avista. At this point, I'm going to pass it back to Steve, and then he talked about having some other people speak on this.
Yeah, I just want to say that while we've been in front of the board since March on the long-term marketing strategy, the development of the contract actually goes back a year. The internal effort was led by Eric, our general counsel, but there was substantial involvement across the organization. We had three other managing directors that were actively involved in Kelly Boyd, Sean, after he joined us, and Kirk Hudson. And I would like for each of them to speak to this because I think it's important to understand that there has been a broad effort across the district to understand the various types of risks and to think through what creates the best value for customer owners. So, Eric, would you like to start, please?
Yeah, thanks, Steve. Good morning, commissioners. And I'm going to say, first off, I think Steve gives far too much credit to the lead of this effort. This was actually a vast effort, as Sean's described, and can't really tell you how proud and excited I am to be here today supporting the resolution and the execution of our proposed contract with Avista. But I do want to take a moment and say thanks to what Sean has described as a very large team. I think this motion that we're asking the board to take today is really the fruit of a more than a year-long effort. I recall starting this effort as a large team when it was snowing last year, and I woke up this morning, it was snowing this year, when we're finally here to execute. And I will say that in addition to the presentations at the board meeting, we have assembled a cross-functional team at the district that is represented by just about every working group in one fashion or another. We have a very highly skilled, very subject matter expert-oriented team that's helped us with this. We have had at least weekly meetings on topic, I would say, for the last year. And then, obviously, when we began more deliberate negotiations with Avista as a proposed counterparty, and their team came on board to offer their perspective on what we were thinking internally, I would say that the effort only increased substantially. So I'm going to say, rather than try to name everyone involved, I will absolutely forget someone. I just want to thank the entire team. I especially want to thank those members of the team like Kelly and Janet who were involved in the Cost Plus efforts from nearly two decades ago now, and who we were able to draw on in terms of their experience and expertise and thinking, and really fold that into the effort that we were working on here to update the Cost Plus contract as we described to the board back in March for the first time. The effort was underway already, but that's when we came to the board with our proposed update to the marketing strategy. I want to thank outside counsel. We've had a number of different firms involved with us over the years. Holland & Knight in particular was involved with this nearly two decades ago now with the Cost Plus efforts then, and they have stuck with us through this effort and have been very responsive to any question, particularly as we've sort of culminated our conversations here at the end of the year. We have a very skilled, smaller negotiating team. I want to thank them, led by Mike Bradshaw, and want to say thank you to the Avista team. Those two groups really have worked incredibly diligently together to resolve outstanding issues, particularly here as we've accelerated toward the end of the year and the holiday season. That's been a pretty demanding effort for all of those involved here, wrapping up the final items and having a contract that's ready for you commissioners today, and execution by Steve should you approve the resolution. I do support the resolution, and I do support the execution of the contract, and I'm going to turn it now to Kirk Hudson, see if he has something to say.
Good morning, everyone. Kirk Hudson, Managing Director of Generation and Transmission, and I do want to echo Eric's thanks to the negotiating team. They have put a tremendous amount of work into this and have done a fantastic job. And I am also excited that this is with Avista, and that we go back a long ways with Avista, and we collaborate an awful lot on the operations side of things with Avista on a regular basis, and value that relationship with them. There's two areas of the contract that I would like to highlight. One of them is new to our cost-based contracts that the negotiating team has worked hard on, and it's taken a step in addressing our concern with cycling of our hydro units. We know with the move to clean energy, the hydros are going to be relied upon more and more, and in terms of their flexibility. And so the team tried to address that within the contract and the way the units are being operated. So I'm particularly proud of that new provision. And the other side that I wanted to highlight is oftentimes goes without saying, but the tremendous amount of risk mitigation we get on the cost-based contracts that help mitigate the district's risk on operational risks with outages and stream flow. And so these contracts are tremendously valuable to the district and its customer owners, and I'm really proud of the team and how they negotiated in good faith with Avista and represented our customer owners' interests. And I enthusiastically support the resolution. Thank you.
I'd like to go to Kelly next.
Good morning, Commissioners. Kelly Boyd, Chief Financial and Risk Officer. And as briefly mentioned, I have now had the privilege of participating in three different long-term cost-based contract cycles. When I first started here, the original 50-year contracts were in place. I participated on the team for the current 2011-2012 contract, and now participated in the team for the proposed future long-term contracts, and this one specifically with Avista. And each contract has served to address the risks and conditions of the day, and each one has moved us into the future for the ultimate value for our customer owners. So this proposed long-term cost-plus contract with Avista does the same. It supports the guiding principles from the board. It diversifies our resource portfolio by adding a cost-based product and a longer term to our mix, and also adding a new cost-based contract counterparty, as Kirk mentioned. It balances our operational and financial risks and addresses the new market values for items like resource adequacy and carbon-free energy. So bottom line, I recommend approving the resolution for this contract as it supports our vision of the best for the most for the longest, and it will serve our customer owners well into the future. Thank you.
Thanks, Kelly. And Sean?
Well, I've pretty much said everything that I was talking about in the presentation itself, but, you know, especially my group, Mike Bradshaw and Janet Jaspers, you know, I'm new to the district, and they've really taken me in and shown me the way as we jumped right into these negotiations. Basically, when I got here, we ramped up and went straight into it. So, you know, working through that process, coming from outside, really seeing the value of this contract was critical. And generating the thoughts and seeing what our customer owners, what the impacts are for them. It was very rewarding and insightful. And, you know, I would just like to this whole team is amazing, and Avista has been incredible to work with. I've been in many negotiations, and I must say Avista has been just one of the most up and up standby group I've worked with. You know, everything was very professional. We were always, you know, there's of course disputes along the way during a negotiation, but we always kept it at a very even tone and work through any issues we had to get to this point, very quickly, in fact, but diligently. So I would just like to thank everyone again. I enthusiastically support this contract, and I look forward to the future.
Thanks, Sean. And I know that Jason Thaxton, who is a vice president of Avista, is on the line. And I'd like to give him a moment to be able to speak to the board and to the public. Jason, please join us.
Thank you. Steve, can you hear me?
We can hear you good.
Wonderful. I turned my camera on, but I don't know if it's showing. I'm sorry. I'm also, I think somebody else talked about sketchy internet service. I'm in a similar situation. So good morning, commissioners. As Steve shared, I'm Jason Thaxton. I'm Senior Vice President for Energy Resources at Avista. You may know about Avista. We're headquartered in Spokane. We have 400,000 electric customers in eastern Washington and North Idaho, 370,000 natural gas customers in eastern Washington, North Idaho, and parts of Oregon, and additional operations in Montana and southeast Alaska. We began nearly 133 years ago with hydro generation on the Spokane River, and hydro still represents more than half of our generating capacity. Also here in the meeting with me today is Scott Kinney, who's our Director of Energy Supply. And I see Kevin Holland, who manages our wholesale marketing group and was closely involved in the contract negotiations, is also in the meeting. Together, we have responsibility to ensure that we can provide our customers with clean, safe, reliable, and affordable electricity and natural gas. In my 25 years with Avista, we have always shared a strong partnership with Chelan, and I know that partnership precedes my time at Avista by a few decades. We are neighbors here in Washington State, but we also have other things in common. Hydro generation is a critically important resource for both of us. We both value investing in the communities we serve, and we both engage at a leadership level in regional dialogue to ensure a clean and reliable grid. And it's not just company to company. There are strong relationships among many of our employees as we work together on those regional issues, as you've already heard this morning. I've appreciated my many opportunities to work alongside Steve. He has represented Chelan County PUD and our region so well, and I've learned a lot about how to advance ideas and to spur collaboration through his work. I look forward to developing a similar relationship with Kirk. With all of that background and context, Avista is particularly pleased to be partnering with Chelan to purchase portions of generation output over the next couple of decades. I appreciate the persistence of those both at Chelan and Avista who spent months working through the terms of the contract to ensure a transaction that benefits both Chelan and Avista. So everything you've heard up to this point resonates completely with me and with us at Avista. This transaction and the 10-year agreement that we signed earlier this year are very, very strategic transactions for us and for our customers. And I'd like to hand it over to Scott Kinney to briefly talk about why. Thank you for your time, and I look forward to continuing this strong partnership between our organizations. And if I could hand it over to Scott.
Thanks, Jason. Can you guys hear me?
Hear you good, Scott.
Okay. Yeah, great. Thanks. So I'm Scott Kinney, Director of Energy Supply at Avista. And I also just want to say thanks to the employees on both sides of our companies that have worked on this contract. There's been a lot of work put into it, and definitely is going to provide value to us going forward. As Jason alluded to, you know, beyond the requirements under CETA and Washington law, you know, we put together our own clean energy goals a couple of years ago, and they're a little bit more aggressive than the Washington law. And so this contract's going to really help us try to achieve not only what we're required to under CETA, but also under our own clean energy goals. And, you know, as we look forward and really trying to continue to clean up our portfolio, which, you know, we're very fortunate, like you at Chelan, we've got a lot of hydro already in our resource mix, but this contract just adds to that. And it adds really some stability for us when we really think about not only energy, but also capacity and trying to meet the peak load events that we observe both in the winter and especially this last summer. Since we do serve about a third of our electric load is in Idaho, and two-thirds are in Washington. Contracts like this are really important to us to try to make sure that we provide service across our entire load in both states, but also as we're required to really work towards cleaning up the portfolio more in Washington than Idaho, contracts like this are very supportive for us and help us with our Idaho customers as well. Even though there's not a true clean energy requirement in the state of Idaho, contracts like this with working with a partner like Chelan that we've worked with for a long time really helps us in our getting approval in Idaho for our new resource requirements to meet future load. So like this contract, it's really, really important for us and strategic for us as an entire company as we serve load both in Washington and Idaho. So I just want to say thanks to everyone that's been involved in this. And this is a big deal for us going forward and our resource mix to make sure that we can not only just serve load from a reliability perspective, but then also meet all the other legislative requirements that we are under.
Thank you, Scott. Jason, just checked to see, was there anything else from Avista?
No, thank you. Just appreciated the opportunity to comment this morning.
Great. Commissioners, I'd like to finish with a couple of thoughts. First of all, when we first began thinking about this a few years ago, I think one of the challenges was to think through how do we take this incredible power supply that Chelan has, the generation in excess of needs to meet local loads, and use it for good. And I would say that there are a few important things about this contract just to add to the earlier comments. First, it's going to make a difference in terms of using the power supply to meet the state and regional goals for clean energy. This is going to provide value beyond Chelan County. It will help to address the incredibly aggressive goals for making a clean energy transition over the course of the next decade and beyond. Second, we knew it was really important to have a great partner. These are long-term contracts. We wanted a partner that we could count on and would feel like they would be there to be the kind of partner that would allow us to make sure that the investments in our assets we could count on being made that would be necessary to make sure these assets are going to be here even beyond this contract. Avista, as a load-serving entity, meets that goal. But it's more than that. Avista has been a wonderful partner for us, a growing partner for us over the course of the last 5 years. And I want to echo Jason's comments. We work together on much more than this contract. We work together in regional forums that are about the future of the West Coast electricity industry. And we work together really well in those forums. So we feel like we have that strong partner that will allow us to be able to make sure that these assets are taken care of and used wisely and diligently. Third, these long-term contracts provide value for our customer owners. So number one, they reduce risk. We know we operate resources that have risk, stream flow risk, cost risk. These contracts are set up in a fashion in which we're sharing that risk with Avista and sharing the benefits of the assets with Avista. And we do that by making sure that the share of the output that Avista will get, the cost of the projects will be covered. That's important to us because we want to make sure that as we go through time, that we are true partners, that we are working together in various forums where costs might be imposed on the district from regulatory agencies and others, and that where there are opportunities to be able to enhance value for hydropower, that we're working together to make that happen. So this contracts are really structured in the form of a true partnership. And then the contracts do also provide some value above cost that can be used to enhance the quality of life for people who live in Chelan County. So we know that the existing contracts have been successful in being able to produce enough value for us to have fabulous parks and a fiber and broadband system that is an envy of rural counties across America. These kinds of things can be sustained through a contract like this, and there is the opportunity at least to be able to produce revenue that can help to enhance the quality of life for the people of Chelan County. So with that, I will add my voice to the other managing directors here and just say that I enthusiastically endorse this contract and this resolution to the board. Back to you, Commissioner Smith.
Thank you, Steve. And before I open it up for any comments from my fellow commissioners, after listening to our senior management team and Avista's senior management team, I have a couple of thoughts. This is from the, I look around just about the old timer in the county and our long-term relationship with Avista, which has been in place for longer than maybe some on this call have even been aware. You know, for staff here at Avista, I'm guessing most are aware that Lake Chelan Dam was originally owned by Washington Water Power, which is the predecessor to Avista. And that we've had, ever since the PUD has been in existence, we have had some form of relationship with Avista. And that speaks volumes. I'm sure there were moments in time where there were challenges and disagreements, but we've worked through those and had a strong relationship, which I am excited that we are focusing on continuing and building on the positives of that relationship. So this, I find this an incredibly exciting moment from a lifelong resident of Chelan County that we are choosing to continue a great working relationship. I just wish Willard Fields was on this call. I actually checked for those who of you from Avista that don't know who Willard Fields is. He is our internal historian about all things Chelan PUD, and I'm sure he could enlighten me more about our relationship. But we will see more from him hopefully in the future. So, fellow commissioners, any comments about resolution number 4 in our long-term contract?
I would just like to echo my thanks for Jason and Scott for joining us today and taking time out of your holiday to share your perspective of the benefit and the work that's gone on and the appreciation of our staff. So I want to thank you as well. Thanks for being with us today.
Dennis.
Yes, I guess one of the things that I really like about it, and it's, I think, complementary to both Avista and Chelan County PUD, anytime you venture into contracting in a different format, there's a risk factor. And both organizations have been willing to take that risk and then jointly work to resolve it. And I think that progressive nature of both organizations speaks well of both of them. And it also prepares not only our two organizations for the future, I think it also serves as a, role model for other electric utilities and generators in the Northwest that to keep venturing out, to keep looking at doing things differently and looking at doing things that are more effective. And my appreciation to, you know, to both organizations and the staff involved, and thank you for the hard work and the courage to do something different that is mutually beneficial. So thanks a lot.
Any other commissioner comments?
I'd like to just chime in, and I think everyone has said it so beautifully regarding the working relationship between Avista and the district. I'd also like to point out that, at least in my opinion, the highest honor is achieved when a contract can be negotiated between two parties and the end result is a win-win for both parties. You know that that contract is just full of honesty and integrity and transparency. And that's the only way you can achieve the kind of success that that we're seeing today and this resolution that is before us. I just want to thank parties at Avista, everyone who had a hand on this, and our staff who once again hits it out of the ballpark. So thank you, everyone, for all of your hard work, and thank you also again for demonstrating that honesty, that integrity, and that transparency.
Any additional comments? Commissioners, I would welcome a motion to approve Resolution 4, authorizing the general manager to enter into an extended duration power sales agreement.
Mr. Chairman, it would be my honor to propose such a motion.
Is there a second?
It would be my honor to second that motion.
Commissioner Smith, I just want to make sure that we created an opportunity for public comment. I don't know that we have anyone online, but just would want to make sure that we created that opportunity.
You bet. Is there any discussion on the motion? Is there any public comment on the motion?
Commissioners, I would like to just make you aware that I got a call from Bart Clennon. He was favorably inclined towards the contract, but he did just ask in the future if we would consider the risk of inflation. He's got concerns about the direction that inflation is going, and also an interest in just reviewing how past contracts have played out. So I wanted to share that with you, although he did not ask me to share that here today. Since he had called me directly, I thought it would be worthwhile just to make sure that you were aware that that had happened.
Thank you. I know I value his input always. So if there's no discussion on the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. We are on to manager items.
Okay, and I want to say thanks to our friends from Avista. We'll be moving on to other items on our agenda, but really appreciate your willingness to join us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Commissioners, we do have two things we would like to update you on. We have a new amendment to the contract with the Diamond Foundry that is going through the signature process right now. It does not require board action. It's within the authority of the general manager, but is worthy of your attention. And so I'm going to ask Lindsay Bonds to give a short report on that.
Thank you, Steve. Good morning, Commissioners. Lindsay Mons, Business Manager in Customer Utilities. As Steve mentioned, I have some good news for you associated with the Diamond Foundry contract. I would consider it another, as Commissioner Archinault said, win-win contract. As you know, we signed a contract with the Diamond Foundry in June of 2019 for their production facilities here in Wenatchee. And this summer, we were able to energize the Holly Street substation that Stimmelt built for the purpose of the Diamond Foundry's service. And energized the Diamond Foundry on that station as well. The topic of conversation today is that their original contract did not include environmental attributes for their service here in the Wenatchee Valley. However, they have requested that service be added to their contract. So as Steve mentioned, the currently routing within our internal signature processes and already signed by the Diamond Foundry is a contract amendment adding those clean environmental attributes to their contract. It supports both their carbon-free goals as well as the district, really recognizing what we've always known being the value of that clean hydropower that we produce. So I also want to say thank you to the team that's helped on this, who have also been so involved in the Avista contract. They've made time for me as well in their efforts. So happy New Year.
All right. Thank you, Lindsay. Appreciate that update. Commissioners, we'd like
to do this. Good job. Absolutely. Great.
Commissioners, would like to also give you an update on the cold weather this week. We had anticipating setting a new system peak that has not occurred so far, fortunately, but we've been pretty close. Want to ask John Stoll, Kirk Hudson, and Bob Shane, and I think we'll start with John on the customer side.
Hello, Commissioners. John Stoll, Managing Director of Customer Utilities. I turned my camera on, but the last time I did that, my system froze up. So hopefully people can hear me now.
We can hear you good, John. Yeah.
Great. Thank you. Yeah, starting Sunday when we started to see some of the cold weather come our way, you know, we have seen some impacts to our system. Nothing major. It started, we had an issue up at Stevens Pass, tree in the lines that created an outage on Sunday, but that was resolved by the end of the day. As you know, the temps continue to get cooler. Monday was the coolest one we had, and that's our highest peak. As Chad Rissman would say, this was a really good opportunity to kind of look at impacts to our system. It has been a while since we've had sustained very cold temperatures. We've had a day here and there, but it really has been about 11, 12 years since we've had sustained cold outages. And as we all know, our system has changed and grown quite a bit. So this has been a good opportunity to kind of see the impacts. One of the areas that really stood out is around the Manson South Shore area. We saw higher loads than what our modeling had predicted. And a couple of theories behind that. One, you know, those areas have grown. And I think we've seen, two, more occupancy, not only just from maybe changes in society, but as well as the holiday time. So that created a few issues where customers were seeing some recurring bumps, because what was happening, the load was hitting our reclosure, which is a protective device. So staff and crews went out and did some adjustments to adjust the settings, so that remedied those issues. But certainly, I think it identified some good information for our long-range planning on those areas. We've had a couple other outages. We had a cable fault around the Sunny Slope area. We also had a tree in the line on Plain the other day. That one probably was a good opportunity to remind customers that we have a situation called cold load pickup, where we do have an outage, and say it's on one feeder, which may have, you know, 200 to 600 customers on it. And when they clear the outage, in this instance, remove the tree, reset the wires, then when you try and re-energize, if everybody has a lot of appliances, heater, hot water tanks going, it tends to delay or create challenges when trying to reconnect. So it creates a scenario where you have to switch by switch go and let a section of customers come online, let the system stabilize a little bit, then go to the next one. Customers can really help out. They actually turn off as many breakers as they can, leave one light on so they know when the power comes on, wait a little bit, and then start, you know, hitting their furnace and things of that nature. So working with communications to get just some general good communication out. We see this mainly in the Lake Country, Plain, Lake Wenatchee, but it's a good info for everyone as well. All said, you know, we've weathered it pretty well. We've had some transformer failures just because they get stressed at the individual layer level. I mean, at the residential. So we've been able to replace those in a pretty timely manner. Last night was really quiet. We had it was probably one of the quietest nights we've seen. So again, our system is operating well. But again, as we mentioned, it's a good opportunity just to look at this information and learn from it. Another point is when we get AMI, that's going to be a really great tool to kind of understand some of these issues and anticipate where we may need to boost up our system in certain areas. That's on the electric side, distribution. Ann, did you have a question?
I did, thanks. You talked about Manson South Shore.
That's.
Did you mean Manson? You meant North Shore? It was on the North Shore, wasn't it, John? Not the South Shore.
Commissioner Conger, we actually, from our Manson substation, we feed the South Shore. We have a fairly large underwater cable that then feeds up part of the South Shore. And it's
what?
Yeah, it was the South Shore.
Okay, thank you.
But that being said, on the North Shore, Wapato sub, which has seen, I think it was 5 megawatts higher than we've ever had during this cold snap. When we get the North Shore online, that will help relieve the pressure on the Wapato substation. So timing's right that we're now starting the construction on North Shore to get that put online.
Good, thanks.
Shifting gears into water wastewater, actually it's been very quiet. Normally we anticipate some issues, but I think our crews have worked very well as the people who are doing construction to kind of shore up for the cold weather. We've had one or two maybe customer issues where they've had frozen pipes, but when we react to those, we work with those customers to let them know there's things they can do within their house to alleviate that. But fairly quiet on the water wastewater side. And with that, I'll stop if there's any other questions.
How about if we go to Kirk next?
Good morning again, everyone. Just a couple things to add to John's report. When we saw the cold conditions coming, it's customary that we look at our power supply and look at our units and see what work we have coming up maintenance-wise or outage-related. And we did actually defer some outages to make sure that we had all of our turbines and generators available that weren't undergoing major modernization or rehab. And so we have deferred some maintenance work just in an effort to make sure we're generating as much energy as we can to meet the local loads as well as help out on the regional side of things. I would say that there's been a lot of coordination that's happening between the different business units, energy resources, system operations, and the hydros, as an example, are all working together to try and minimize the spill at the hydros so that we can maximize generation output. That also helps with minimizing icing on river crossings, if you will. And so it's been a really solid effort there with very good results. Crews and employees, once again, just extremely proud of our employees and workforce who have responded in very adverse conditions. We have employees up on Stevens Pass today, for instance, and we had employees respond on Christmas Day when a generator went out unexpectedly, and employees responded on Christmas Day, got the unit back up and running just to ensure that we had all availability of our units and electricity cranking out, and they did it with happy hearts. You know, we're extremely proud of the service they're providing to our customers, and we're happy to come out and get those units back up and running and get back home to their loved ones at the same time. So just really proud of them. I would say the one concern we have on the transmission side is up at Stevens Pass as we speak. We currently do not have our contingency backfeed from Puget Sound. And so certainly doing what we can to try and get that back in service. And that's where some employees are at this moment in just extreme conditions, trying to get that back in place. So we are kind of in a tenuous situation if we do have power outages up in the plain, like Wenatchee, Stevens Pass area this afternoon, without our contingency. That's all I have.
Bob, would you give us a quick update on fiber and telecommunications?
Absolutely. Commissioners, Bob Shane, Managing Director of Fiber and Telecom. We did have an event in the beginning of the week where we lost communications up at the Summit site. There was a power loss. We co-locate with the Washington Department of Transportation facilities up there, and their generator failed to spin up, which caused a drain on the batteries and eventually shut the system down. Our crews were quick to restore power, although the site didn't come up quickly. There are some other issues on site, but DOT technicians went up there in a snowcat and made the restoration and brought the site back in service. So we're fully functional at the Summit site, thanks to the collaboration and cooperation with our own team to get power up there, and then for them to go up there and do site facility restoration to get that up and going. So that was the only issue on the telecom side. Both of our primary communication systems, our microwave and trunk radio system, are relatively new. We haven't really experienced this low temperature, although they're designed to operate in that spectrum. We were a little concerned about how they would perform, but we've had no issues with either of those systems, so that worked really well. On our broadband system, no reported issues. As you know, our devices at the home, the ONT, are typically mounted outside, and they are exposed to the extreme temperatures. Again, they're designed to operate in this temperature range, but when you have these types of low temperatures, you're always a little bit nervous about how they're going to perform. We have no issues with those. In our core system, in our nodes, they're all in well environmentally controlled environments with heaters and air conditionings, and we've had no issues with those. So overall, we're doing really well on both the broadband and the telecom systems. And that's all I have to share there. If you have any questions, please feel free to ask them.
Finish with a couple of other thoughts. From a regional power supply system, the system has done really well. The prices started out fairly high early in the week. They've been dropping through the week. The experience for the region has been pretty similar to ours, expectations of lower temperatures later in the week than what actually occurred. So I think folks were holding back power supply just to be ready in case it showed up. And when the temperatures, although they're still really darn cold, are a little higher than what was anticipated, it just left the region in good shape. And so we haven't experienced either high prices or regional shortfalls. For Chelan, we marketed very conservatively this week as well, and have not had any problems with being able to provide adequate power supply. The final thought I'd like to leave with you is it's really a proud moment to be in this industry when things like this go on. You see what people do to keep the lights on. Give you one example of something that occurred earlier this week. We had a problem with C11, basically a leak at C11, and that could have been fixed in a slower way by putting headgates in and drying everything out. Instead, our crews actually did it without putting the headgates in and worked in the water in order to be able to plug the leak, in essence, and saved us about at least 5 hours of outage as a result of that. So pretty remarkable. And the tree over the line up in Plain, we talk about that in a sort of an antiseptic way. I mean, you just have to think for a moment about what it's like being out in those weather conditions, removing a tree from the line, and then getting things up and operating again. Really, really difficult things. And I have to admit, I was thinking about this a little bit, watching an NFL game on Sunday, and how much the announcers went on and on about what difficult conditions the players were in for 3 hours with warm benches, heaters on the sidelines. Honestly, what our folks are going through is much, much more difficult than that. It'd be nice if there were national television cameras out there watching what's going on.
Randy, may I jump in?
You bet.
Yeah, I just, thanks for that, Steve. I just want to say thank you as well. We sit here in our nice, warm, comfortable houses, wow, I picture these guys out working in the water in frigid temperatures or up climbing up poles, and I've never experienced that. Probably never will. I probably couldn't handle it. But just a huge, huge thank you. We do appreciate you guys, our crew.
So, Ann, as a follow-up to what you said, to my fellow commissioners, and maybe some of you have done it, and Kirk Hudson, I think, remembers this well. Early in my life as a commissioner, I wanted to experience what it was like going out with a line crew. And I see the smile on Kirk's face now because he remembers it was April. So I thought, this won't be a problem. Well, a late snowstorm hit up by Rocky Reach Dam in the first week of April. And that was, that's not anything close to what our line crews go through on a regular basis. I will never forget that day that I spent with our line group. So it's you know, Steve, everything you said is entirely accurate. They deserve a lot of recognition.
Three quick things. Yes to everything everybody said in praise of the crews and what they're doing. I frequently think about, as Ann just said, you know, we're nestled in our warm homes and knowing that what they're going through. I fully anticipate maybe with the overtime, some new pickups in the parking lot and justifiably rewarded. Also, just curious on the, you know, what our peak has been so far in terms of our local usage. Do we have a number?
I can pull that up if you want, Steve.
Yeah, I was thinking, Sean, it was 483. Is that right? For Monday was the peak on the system?
I think it was 487.
487, correct.
487.
On the 27th, and then 483 on the 28th.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, that's kind of pushing the level in terms of the record.
And then yeah, if it was next week, we would have broke it easily, right? We got a lot of people home, not in school, things like that.
Yeah, yeah. And then kind of related in a way, what's the Canadian snowpack looking like right now?
It's looking, we were just over 100% before this, so we're going to look good. So
good.
I don't,
yeah,
this morning it was 103 at Rock Island Dam.
Right. Oh, okay. Thank you all. The other thing I'd like to say is, Steve, nice job in communicating our preparedness and thanks to everybody for being, you know, anticipating and being ready. Yeah, there's be nothing worse than to explain to the public why we weren't ready. To be able to say that we were ready and some unexpected and anticipated things may have come up is one thing. But anyway, thanks for the preparedness and the communication from our staff to the public in terms of how to take care of yourself and your homes and your pets and everything else. So it's just a nice effort overall. Makes you proud of the organization.
Commissioners, that's all we had for you today.
So commissioners, is there anything else for the good of the order, the good of the year? Steve, this is finally your final hurrah. And
not quite. Still got to make it to midnight tomorrow night.
That's right.
But now, is tomorrow a district holiday?
It is.
Tomorrow is a district holiday. In fact, I don't know if you've heard, but there are going to be fireworks going off at midnight to celebrate Kirk's initiation into the general manager role.
Yeah.
Something real quick, Steve, and I hope that something similar happens to you. On my last day, retiring from public school administration, I'm driving home, and I pull up behind a pretty new Cadillac, and the license plate holder said, "Just retired. Damn, I was good." You know, I hope something fortuitous happens with you as well.
Is there any additional business to come before the commission? Hearing none, we will stand adjourned.
Thank you all.
See you all next year.
Thank you all.